Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm glad to get to your phone calls and emails on the Radio Northwest Network. You know, despite some light rain, the wildfires continue to grow, and the largest wildfire in all of the United States of America now sits at 284,000 acres. That makes it bigger than the state's smallest county, which contains 275,000 acres of land. Oregon, total active wildfires now encompass an area bigger than the size of Rhode Island. And I thought when the fires are burning, the perfect person to talk to is our friend Dr. Bob Zybak, who's a forest scientist and president of Northwest Maps and Company and the author of a brand new book called The Elliott, an anthology, which is about one of the most badly managed forests, I think, in all of the Northwest. Dr. Zybak, good to have you back.
Thank you, Lars. Good to be back.
I want to ask you about these fires because we're constantly hearing it's hot and dry and this makes the fire problem worse. There's probably a kernel of truth in that, but is it truly the case that if it's simply hot and dry, that this year is worse than most other years?
No, the weather this summer is about the same as every summer. The difference is, and we've talked about this before, is the fuel buildups, and particularly on public lands.
And the public lands, is it fair to say, are badly managed in that regard?
I would say grossly mismanaged would be a fair characterization.
I usually make the comparison that when you look at the other major private timber owners, whether it's Weyerhaeuser or Hampton or whoever it happens to be, their forests don't seem to burn down every summer, do they?
No, about 90% of the fires we've had in Western Oregon over the last 35 years have started from or been entirely contained on federal lands, mostly Forest Service, but also BLM. And this isn't happening on the private lands or the tribal lands or the state lands. So the excuse that they give of climate change doesn't work. It's fuel buildup due to passive management. These fires have been predicted for 30 years, and unfortunately, the predictions keep coming true.
And Dr. Zybak, every time somebody brings up fires to me on or off the air, I usually cite your numbers that from, I think, 52 to 87, 35-year period, we had essentially no fires. I think there was one that was bigger than 10,000 acres in that 35-year period. Now we have a period from 87 to present where I think the average in Oregon is now 500,000 acres burned, and the average in Washington is 500,000 acres in an average year. And we have years where 1 million acres burns in a single year. And that's just off the charts compared to that period when Oregon and Washington were still actively logging and maintaining the forests. Fair to say?
It's entirely accurate. Yeah, 1966, we had the Oxbow burn. It was 40,000 acres. And from 52 till the Sober Complex in 87, that was the only fire in Western Oregon more than 10,000 acres. Now I think we've got 1 million acres burning. The Labor Day fires in 2020, we had about 800,000 or 900,000 acres burn in 72 hours. So these fires were predicted once they stopped active management of our federal lands. The results have been catastrophic wildfires, millions of dead wildlife, polluted air, and worse for our rural communities. A lot of the mill closures, like just happened in John Day, hundreds and thousands of people put out of work, rural people that kept the forest safe and kept the roads open, and the schools and parks in good shape, and all of that has been devastated by these actions on the part of the federal government to shift to passive management, supposedly in favor of a few endangered birds. But it's a political movement, and we're facing the consequences.
Well, let me ask you this, Dr. Zybak, because one of the arguments that's put forward by the elected officials in Oregon, both from the Congress and the state levels, and I think Washington State the same, is, well, we'll do a little bit of clearing. We'll go out and we'll do some forest management, but they don't mean logging. They mean going out and cutting a bit and clearing a bit. Is that enough of a solution, or do we need to return to actively logging and managing the forest if we want to make any major change to this problem?
Yeah, they're just mainly just wasting taxpayer dollars. They're watching fires burn. Most of the Most of the budget now goes to letting fires burn rather than logging or road maintenance or maintaining campgrounds. And what's happening is these little projects, one, they're meaningless in the face of the fires we're facing. But two, taxpayers are paying for these programs. Taxpayers are paying to watch these fires, whereas when the forests were being actively managed, safer and our communities were in better shape, we were paying taxes into the federal treasury. So we don't have to operate our lands at a profit like we used to do, but it would be good to operate them enough to be safe and to pay for our schools and parks.
And Dr. Zybeck, the usual objection when I pitch that to my audience is they say, but it's kind of a chicken and egg problem. You don't have the mills without the logging. You don't have the logging without the mills. If you started logging right now, would there be enough mills to handle the wood? And what I've suggested is say, take the federal lands, BLM and Forest Service, and say, we will make a commitment of a minimum amount of cut, you know, for the next 20 years, long enough that somebody, you know, whether it's Hampton or some other company would say, well, if you'll make that commitment to supply that amount of logs, we will build the facilities to do it. But we can't make it pencil any other way unless you give us a medium long-term commitment to supply the logs. Otherwise, why build a, you know, a mill for 1 or 2 years of logging? That doesn't make any sense.
That's exactly right. After World War II, we had I think the Sustained Yield Act, or I think it might have had a different acronym, but we did that very thing. We had 20-year contracts, and a 20-year contract for a community it brings in the funding needed to assemble mills, and mills could be assembled fairly quickly. Australia, Japan, places like that, shipping. I mean, getting the equipment and the workers there would not be a problem with long-term contracts. That's the reason we're losing our labor forces as well. People can't work 6 months or a year and a half and take a year off or not know what the future is going to be. So yes, that would exactly resolve the problem, is active management of our lands with reasonable long-term contracts.
Well, maybe we'll get a new administration in January in Washington, D.C. that can better run both the Forest Service and the BLM, and maybe we can get those kind of changes coming. I know the enviros will go to court and try to block it, even though it makes sense. But Dr. Zybeck, you want to tell people where to find more about the Elliott and Anthology, your book about all of these things that you've written about for the last several decades?
Go to Amazon and type in my name. And also another anthology I put out right after that is Western Oregon Wildfires, and it tells the history of the fires, and it's a collection of my writings and interviews and reports over the last 20 years.
Very good. That's Dr. Bob Zybeck, forest scientist, president of Northwest Maps Company, and the author of the new The Elliott and Anthology. Glad to be with you on a Tuesday. It's the Radio Northwest Network, and you're listening to The Lars Larson Show. Coming up, we're going to talk about some really hot testimony on Capitol Hill about the Secret Service failures.